I'm American made, but like Chevrolet. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
I'm Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR. This is the Michelle Morin After Hours podcast on August 20th of 2017. I do this podcast with my producer, Jason, because my thing is to tell you what big media won't. And there's so much that big media won't tell you. I can't fit it all in on my two-hour live show every Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. So we had a show, and we talked about, we talked about Charlottesville. Was that a setup? We talked about George Washington. We talked about the coup against our president, which is a coup against you and me and our constitutional republic. And we talked about the violence, the escalating violence. I talked about, there was a story about a, it's all over the internet. There's a guy named Joshua Witt on Facebook, and he allegedly got stabbed at the Steak and Shake restaurant in Sheridan, Colorado. He put a Facebook post out there showing a picture of his hand, bloodied up hand, bloodied up jeans, kind of his knee, and his hands wrapped in gauze. And the story goes that he has a haircut that looks like a neo-Nazi haircut, where it's longer on the top and in the middle, kind of like the Mohawk area, and then kind of shaved on the sides. And supposedly, as soon as he pulled into the Steak and Shake restaurant, he got out of the car and someone came over brandishing a knife saying, "Are you one of them neo-Nazis?" and started stabbing him. And something is telling me when you don't have multiple sources for a story, you have the dilemma, do you talk about it or not? In my world, when I was a blogger, I would go do my own reporting because big media wasn't doing it. So I would report on stories that I knew about and that I had firsthand experience with. And because of the fake news going on in big media, now everything is in question. And when you have riots and mobs and identity politics, everybody needs to be somebody. So the question enters my mind when I read this story, and I will owe an apology, probably one way or the other, for saying what I'm going to say, but something's telling me this story, it's not sourced. It's sourced to the guy's Facebook page and nothing else. I have not heard about this in any media outlets, which therein lies the dilemma. Big media doesn't talk about these things if they're legit, and if they're not legit and big media doesn't talk about them, where do you go with it? So I just kind of wanted to tell you that's kind of a dilemma when you're in my place. When you talk about what big media won't, and you've got a story that is this bad, that this guy supposedly got so cut up that he had to go get 3 stitches in his hand. He got stabbed. The guy was supposedly aiming for his head. It's very possible this happened with the escalating violence going on in the country. It's also possible that someone's looking for attention or trying to dupe someone like myself into reporting a false story. This is the dilemma. I shared the story, and you can decide if you think it's legit or not. Jason, what are your thoughts?
Looking at the article, looking at the pictures, mm-hmm. my first thought is, who carries gauze in their car?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the picture, he's bloodied up, and then mm-hmm. he has gauze on his hand. And I know, me personally, I probably should carry a first aid kit, but I don't.
Yeah.
Is this the only guy in the world carrying a first aid kit in his car, just ready for that knifer to come get him?
I actually do carry a first aid kit.
Do you really?
I do. In all my cars, I have first aid kit with gauze.
Now
so,
I feel like I'm ashamed.
I don't think I'm the majority. I do like to plan and control certain aspects of my life. But if this had happened to me, I'm not sure I would have wrapped my hand in gauze and taken pictures. I don't know. One way or the other, the truth is going to have to come out, and I'll probably be apologizing one way or the other.
Well, you're doing your due diligence, and I think that should be enough. I mean, you can't cover every story and believe everything is going to be 100% exactly what happens that day.
Yeah.
When you cover a terrorist attack, information comes out as it's happening, so it could be something that happened we didn't know about, or it could be totally true.
Yeah. So that's the risk you take when you do what I do, and there you have it. I talked about it during the show, and as I as the show went on during the breaks, I was looking at the pictures and thinking, this might not be what it's purported to be. So I just wanted to share that with my listening audience. Here in Colorado Springs, there was a conference scheduled for next year, next April, at the Cheyenne Mountain Resort. Now, the conference was called VDARE, V-D-A-R-E. And if you look online, if you look up VDARE, there's really nothing out there about it. So it's very difficult to find out what the conference was going to be about, who was organizing it, what its theme was. Their local news, I've got a printout here from KKTV. They reported that it's an anti-immigration organization. So, I don't know. We don't know exactly what this group was about. But there was a lot of uproar. It was being framed as a white nationalist or white supremacist group. And they were going to have a conference at the Cheyenne Mountain Conference Resort. Well, the Cheyenne Mountain Resort canceled the event. They did not want to host this event. And according to the article here, it was neighbors were concerned. People didn't want to bring this to Colorado Springs, but I'm not sure what it is. And I'm afraid that in the aftermath of Charlottesville, this group, again, I don't know what they stand for, but because they're anti-immigration, that hints at racism. In this culture, it does. It doesn't necessarily mean racism. We don't know. But the question comes up, should they have canceled the event? And Jason and I were talking about this before the show started. And I know there's a very legitimate and valid comparison of the cake bakers not wanting to bake a cake for the homosexual wedding.
Because it was a Christian bakery.
It was a Christian bakery, didn't want to bake the cake for the homosexual wedding. And all of my friends and peers, conservatives, you know, we're in an uproar. That business should have been able to make a decision based on conscience and not have to, you know, they can serve whom they want.
Yeah, it's their choice as a business.
Yes. And Cheyenne Mountain Conference Resort made the same type of decision. For whatever reason, they decided not to host this event. And as a business, it is my opinion that they have every right to do that, especially if they're inviting people into their building. And if it makes them nervous, they have every right to do that. Now, you start thinking and asking, I was asking myself this question, well, what if it was a Christian organization and it was canceled? Go the other extreme. What if it was a Muslim conference that got canceled? It opens a whole can of worms.
What was it? What if it was an LGBTQ
right
conference?
Right. My take on this is the business has the right to cancel whomever they want. And that's where it stops. Because the mayor of Colorado Springs, Mayor John Suthers, in this article from KKTV, says that he was pleased with the resort's decision and speculated why they may have made their decision. He says, quote, "I think what happened here is that this conference was booked without their full knowledge of what the full nature of this organization was. Once they realized it, they made a business decision that this was not a group they wanted to host, and I applaud them for it." Okay. "It's not the city dictating any particular result, but it's the marketplace. I suspect they heard from members of their golf course. I suspect they heard from other potential conference attendees that were planning on conferences there that this could have repercussions for them." KKTV says, Suthers had previously said that had the conference gone on as planned, the city would not provide any resources for it unless there had been any trouble at the event that law enforcement would have had to respond to. Now, I haven't spoken to the mayor about this. From what I'm reading here, it concerns me that he chimed in. And I know he's the mayor. That's, you know, he can chime in on whatever he wants in regards to what's going on in the city. But was there some undertone of influence there for the Cheyenne Mountain Resort to not host it? That's my concern. I don't know the backstory on that. Don't have any idea. But it does open the question, does government have, is it is it the proper role of government to be determining or influencing who has conferences and who doesn't?
Yeah, to direct it, even if it was not intentional.
Yeah.
To say, oh, we applaud that.
Yeah.
That gives the impression that you approve of it and you think that's what they should have done.
Yeah. So, regardless, it looks like, you know, maybe the after Charlottesville, maybe the conference, the Cheyenne Mountain Conference Center, decided they just didn't want to deal with that. I don't blame them. If I owned the conference center and I thought a group that would be, you know, starting up conflict and riots, I would be upset by it too.
Yeah, well, as a business, you wouldn't want to deal with that just for the protests that you know were going to happen, the potential violence and destruction of your property.
Right, right. I hope that the mayor didn't try to influence it, because that's really not the role of government. So that's all I had to say about it. I know nothing about the organization. If anyone knows about it, let me know. I don't really have an opinion because I'm just not sure who they are. But everybody's shaken up about all that. Apparently there was a rally for Charlottesville violence in the Springs Sunday afternoon at the Colorado Springs City Hall. Looks like from the picture here.
Is that what they named that?
It was Solidarity. Let's see. Solidarity with Charlottesville rally.
Okay. A rally for violence on Charlottesville sounds really bad.
It does sound bad. No, that was my fault.
Okay. I didn't know if they named themselves that. Even if it was, you know, innocent, they didn't mean it that way. That just doesn't sound
right. It was Solidarity with Charlottesville. That's what, again, KKTV is reporting. And again, I wasn't there. I don't know. I don't know how many people were there. The picture here looks like it was probably 100, maybe 150 people. I don't know who was for or against it, but there you have it. So that's continuing. All right. Let's go across the country to California. This is really disturbing. The California State Senate would like to punish people who willfully and repeatedly refuse to use a transgender resident's preferred name or pronouns in a public health, retirement, or housing institution. But Senate Bill 219 was proposed by San Francisco's Democrat, State Senator Scott Wiener. It includes other provisions, this is from Breitbart, that require a health facility to honor the gender identity of a patient, which means the patient must be admitted to a room that comports with his or her chosen gender, must be allowed to use whatever bathroom he or she wants to use, and wear whatever clothing or cosmetics he or she decides to wear. It's gone through several amendments, and fines for repeat offenders could be as high as $1,000 and a jail term up to a year.
For what exactly are they punishing? Just not providing those facilities?
Refusal to use the transgender resident's preferred name or pronoun.
So if I accidentally called you sir, I get fined.
That's the gist of it here. They have to be able to stay in whatever room they want. So here we go. Men that want to stay with women can say they're a woman. And
I feel like a woman today.
Right.
Tomorrow I'm going to feel like a man, but today I feel like a woman.
The left just is self-destructive.
No, it's not even that they're self-destructive. They're bringing us with them.
They're bringing us with them.
They are dive-bombing the plane with all of us on it.
They are. And here we go. That's what I was saying in the live on-air show. You know, you said that all of this feels like a wave that's coming against us. And I quoted George Washington. We're going to talk about that a little bit here more on the podcast, but I have a few more little stories I want to share with the listening audience. Oregon.
Yes.
You don't want to go to Oregon.
It looks beautiful, but yeah.
Gets worse. It gets worse. Governor Kate Brown approved Senate Bill 719A. On Wednesday of last week. This bill allows police or a member of a subject's family or household to file a petition with the court, which could lead to an order prohibiting firearms possession if it's believed they pose an imminent risk to themselves or others. It will establish a process for obtaining an order issued by a judge in a civil court prohibiting the person from possessing or buying firearms or ammo for 1 year. that grants police enforcing such orders the power to search for and seize guns that were not surrendered or stored with a third party, such as a gun dealer. And they did cover anyone filing fake orders could be imprisoned. But this is basically if you think your neighbor poses a danger to you.
Well, that's the bottom line. What do they consider a fake order? Because if I'm threatened by you, Michelle, you should never have it. You shouldn't have any guns.
Right.
How are they going to detect if that's fake or not?
I don't know. If you own a gun, then you must be
I
right.
I feel threatened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone. I'm going to move to Oregon and say I'm threatened by everyone's guns.
This
They're going to take them all away.
It is so nebulous and dangerous.
Yes, because they leave it up to an opinion.
Mm-hmm. A feeling.
Yes.
A feeling. And, you know, you might say something like, gosh, I just don't know if I can go on living like, you know, like this, having some trial.
Oh, suicidal. We've got to take all the guns away.
Yep. So there's Oregon for you. Oh my gosh.
Cow.
Okay. Did you hear about Iceland? They are a pure society.
Oh, are they racist? Is that what I'm hearing? They're a pure society?
Well, according to them, I don't know what you'd call it. They have eradicated Down syndrome.
That's okay. How do you get rid of Down syndrome?
Well, they're quite proud of this. CBSN did an on assignment program. And in Iceland, they're very, very proud because they do prenatal screening tests. They introduced them in the early 2000s. And the vast majority of women, close to 100% of them who received a positive test for Down syndrome, terminated their pregnancy.
Really?
Yep. And they're proud of this. They are proud of this. This is according to CBS News. While the tests are optional, the government states that all expectant mothers must be informed about availability of screening tests, which reveals the likelihood of a child being born with Down syndrome. Around 80 to 85% of pregnant women choose to take the prenatal screening test. Using an ultrasound, blood test, and the mother's age, the test, called the combination test, determines whether the fetus will have a chromosome abnormality, the most common of which results in Down syndrome. Children born with this genetic disorder have distinctive facial issues and a range of developmental issues. Like, translation, they're disposable.
We don't need them around. They're going to be a bother.
Many people born with Down syndrome can live full, healthy lives with an average lifespan of around 60 years. Other countries aren't lagging too far behind in Down syndrome termination rates.
What? That's the most important fact in that whole story. Who else is in there doing that?
Well, with a population of around 330,000, Iceland has, on average, just one or two children born with Down syndrome per year. Sometimes after their parents received inaccurate test results.
What about the other way? What if they get a false positive, like, oh, your child's going to have Down syndrome, and so they terminate it, but they never were going to have that?
It's disgusting.
Who is putting that through, saying that's a good idea?
Holda, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Harjortador, head of the prenatal diagnosis unit at Landspetala University Hospital, says babies with Down syndrome are still being born in Iceland. Some of them were low risk in our screening tests, so we didn't find them in our screening.
If anybody wanted to talk about Nazis, that is as close as you're going to get to.
It is.
They're exterminating people.
They're exterminating people.
Based on a genetic test.
Yep. According to Inga Dator, this is a mother who was pregnant with her third child at the age of 40. She looked at the screening results, and since it's only 85% accurate, three babies were born in Iceland with Down syndrome, including Inga Dator's daughter, Augusta, who's now seven. According to Inga Dator, three babies born with Down syndrome is quite more than usual. Normally, there are two in the last few years. Since the birth of her daughter, Inga Dator has become an activist for the rights of people with Down syndrome. Gee, I wonder why. Because she's got a sweet, loving child who, you know, is still her child?
That is...
In America, this is... let's see. Alofsdator. These names, these
Icelandic names.
Nordic names are very difficult to pronounce. We don't look at abortion as a murder. We look at it as a thing that we ended. We ended a possible life that may have had a huge complication. What a face that's not exactly perfect. Preventing suffering for the child and for the family, and I think that is more right than seeing it as a murder. That's so black and white. Life isn't black and white. Life is gray. There is your Icelandic expert on this. So.
That's European, because we just had Charlie Gard.
Yes.
They decided to, we need to get rid of this problem child instead of trying to help him in any way.
It's disgusting. CBS is celebrating it, and it's, you know, wow, we've made progress. We're killing babies. It's funny, there's an actress, I'll have to find her quote. She said, no, they're not eradicating Down syndrome. They're killing the people who have it. Let's be accurate here.
Yeah, if you're going to have a headline, make it accurate.
I know. It's very sad. That is so disturbing.
It's more disturbing that that's acceptable. Everyone's saying that's a good thing.
It's great. We're cleansing society.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Yeah, exactly. Who's deciding who's next? Oh, well, we decided that everyone with brown hair, they're not good.
Well,
sorry.
Yeah. That's the identity politics. All right. So there's this nationwide program. It's called Challenge Day. I just heard about this. This is from Daily Signal. The writer is Grant Strobel. Turns out Grant attended Challenge Day in high school. Challenge Day is a program that basically impresses upon high school students that everyone's a victim. It celebrates victimhood. You and I were talking about this before the show.
Yes.
Challenge Day purports to teach tolerance and acceptance, yet nearly every member of its board of directors and Global Leadership Council is politically left of center. Now, apparently, this Challenge Day has been held at more than 2,200 high schools nationwide and reached millions of students. So I wonder if parents even know about this. 2,200 high schools is a lot of high schools.
Yeah.
But Grant Strobel, he said, when in high school, I myself participated in Challenge Day. At 16 years old, I was a junior at Grosse Pointe North High School, a public high school outside Detroit. I was asked to step forward if I were ever called a bad kid, tried to run away, isolated myself, was made fun of by someone I trusted, or felt as if I were treated differently because of my skin color. About 100 of my peers joined me in this exercise. During the session, I felt pressured to cry. If I didn't cry, I was made to feel heartless. Whenever someone burst out in tears, we were asked to raise our hands in unity with our hands in a love gesture. In truth, it felt like an initiation ceremony for a cult. Everyone was asked to confess their challenges. At that age, I learned to move on from my struggles and show strength when faced with adversity, yet I felt compelled to come up with something to say with a tear in my eye. It felt cool to be a victim and to cry during public apologies. So, this is Challenge Day. I have to ask the question, who in Colorado, what high schools do this Challenge Day?
They don't have a list of schools that participate?
No, he doesn't.
They should?
I know.
At the very least, you'd think they'd send a notice home with their child and say, hey, you know, we're going to have a Challenge Day on this day.
Well, he's saying the Department of Education finances this program, so it's probably worth looking into. If you've got students in public high schools, see if they have this Challenge Day. He said, after the election of Trump, the organization released a statement on its website implying that Trump is a bully, noting that since the election, reports have arisen of young people on campuses all over the U.S. who do not feel safe on campus due to acts of violence, bullying, racism, and intimidation.
Because of Trump being elected?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yep. So.
Yep.
You were saying, you say it best, you're talking about It feels like we're in a race to be the lowest victim on the totem pole.
It's a race to the bottom.
Race to the bottom.
Whoever can feel I'm the worst. I am, you know, for a long time it was black rights. And rightly so. People of a certain skin color were treated differently. But it's slowly become, oh, well, I'm LGBT, I'm this, I'm that, I'm transgendered. And it feels like they're fighting for the right to be the worst victim. I'm the most victim.
I'm the most victimized person.
Yeah.
So I deserve more attention than you do.
Yeah, you need to pay attention to me more because I'm a black woman, LGBT, transgendered, you know, everything. I have everything, so I get the most attention.
It's like bad kids using negative, you know, doing bad things to get any attention they can.
Yeah.
All right. Switching gears. Big media. This one will probably knock you off your chair. Wolf Blitzer. CNN's Wolf Blitzer.
Blitzer? No, his name is Blitzer now. Blitzer.
Oh, my gosh. It's late. But he is kind of after this, he's like a blister on my foot.
Yes.
He really is. He was on his show, and he had CNN's national security correspondent, Jim Sciotto. And they were talking about Barcelona, where there was another terrorist attack this week in Barcelona.
Yes.
And how was the attack carried out, Jason?
Oh, a vehicle, of course.
Okay.
That's the new weapon of choice by everybody, is just run people over.
Oh, no. Wait.
Oh.
Not everybody. Just a week ago, Charlottesville, what was the weapon of choice at Charlottesville?
Was it a car?
A vehicle.
Okay.
Okay. And according to Wolf Blitzer, that's the beginning of history. Because,
oh, I forgot. Yeah, that's where everything started.
Yes. So the reason you'll understand why I say that in a minute here. Jason recorded the audio of this interview, and I want you to hear it because what the message that Wolf Blitzer is sending about Charlottesville it goes into this whole Trump is a racist. If you're not a Democrat, you're a racist. If you're not a Democrat, you're a Nazi. It goes into this whole narrative that's being used against you and me, and it's an out and out lie. And Jason's going to prove that his whole premise is just it. Go ahead and play the audio. We've got Wolf Blitzer and this national security spawnet talking about the alarming shared tactics about the van plowing into a crowd of people in Barcelona and the car attack in Charlottesville. And that's it.
Yeah.
Okay? So let's listen to this, and then Jason and I are going to talk about the real story.
In light of the uproar of the last several days, 5 days apart, you have white supremacists in Charlottesville use a vehicle to kill. And here you have attackers, at least following the modus operandi of terrorists, using vehicles apparently to kill as well. And those shared tactics that should be alarming.
Yeah, and there will be questions about copycats. There will be questions if what happened in Barcelona was at all. A copycat version of what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, even though there may be different characters, different political ambitions. They use the same killing device, a vehicle going at high speed into a large group of pedestrians.
Translation. Here's the translation. This is infuriating. Wolf Blitzer. Well, there will be questions if what happened in Barcelona was at all a copycat of what happened in Charlottesville. Translation is, there will be questions that is it the Islamic terrorists are copycatting Trump's incitement of racism in America?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you
Jason,
kidding me?
Jason, can you please correct the story here? Can you please set the record straight? Because if you listen to that, you would have thought that the first and only time a vehicle was used to plow into people as a weapon was Charlottesville, i.e., hence, Trump. It's all Trump's fault.
It's Trump's fault because he didn't condemn it hard enough.
Right. All right, Jason, tell us the rest.
But then, okay, I remember at least two other instances where terrorism or terrorists used vehicles. So we looked it up and said, okay, there has to be more than that. In just this year alone, 2017, there have been 8 other attacks.
Thank
using
you.
Vehicles only. That's it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people remember the whole London Bridge attack? That happened this year, and Wolf didn't know that. I can't remember that.
Couldn't remember that.
It's too far back. It was like 6 months ago. That's like ancient history.
Ugh.
Are you kidding me?
This is insane. And then there's more than that. I mean, it's not just 2017.
It goes back all the way. If you want to start talking about copycats, you could say that they were copycatting the 1981 Iraqi embassy bombing.
Because
that was the first time they used a vehicle to crash into a group of people, into a building, and then explode the car.
There you have it. So here you go. We have CNN, fake news, criminal news network, communist news network, and they're so short-sighted intentionally. They know these. They know.
I guarantee you. I bet you Wolf reported on these bombings.
I bet he did. But no, the terrorists are now copying Trump's racial incitement of the white supremacists. That's what that translation is. They're horrible, horrible, horrible.
Anything to link anything to terrorism. Just like, oh, well, Charlottesville, that's the cause of everything now.
I.e., you and me who voted
for Trump. I.e., yeah, it's all just Trump's fault.
Well, there's a lot more to talk about, but I'm actually going to cut that short, and we'll save it for next week. I'm Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR. This is the Michelle Morin After Hours podcast with Jason, my wonderful producer, who is a millennial minority but looks like a white male. So Jason speaks with authority on these disadvantaged issues. Please tune in next Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Every Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. And if you miss any of my shows, always go to the KVOR website. You will find my show listed and a link to my podcast on that page. And I'm Michelle Morin. Have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you next week on AM 740 KVOR.